You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Relationship Talk with Clement Maniatela.
702.
Relationship Talk with Clement Maniatela.
Okay. Today we are talking about anal sex safety. We got a call from a listener a couple of weeks ago who asked that we talk about how this can be done in a safe way, and how if you are in a heterosexual relationship, you can start the conversation about anal sex with your partner. So we're going to look at the risks associated, what should you be aware of, what's the role of lubrications, how do you avoid things like tissue tears, and if you've got some questions, you've got some inputs, you can give us a call on 011-883-0702. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note as well on 072-702-1702. The SMS line is 31702. Dr. Elna Rudolph is a sex therapist and president of the World Association for Sexual Health and joins us on the line. Dr. Rudolph, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for making time once again.
Hello, Clement. Thank you very much for having me. You know, this is, of all the sex topics, this is the most taboo topic of them all. So congratulations for choosing that one as your topic today.
Why do you think it's still the most taboo, Dr. Rudolph? Because when it's a taboo, it's even difficult for, you know, people who are in heterosexual relationships to start conversations if either of the parties wants to try it out, because it's almost seen as, what? Does this mean that this is what you like? Could it mean that your sexuality has changed? Because it's seen as taboo and only belonging to a type of sexuality. Why do you think it's still so such a big taboo?
Well, it is because it's not spoken about, you know. More than a third of women have had anal sex. And actually, less than 1 in 20 men have had anal sex, receptive anal sex. So it is something that heterosexual women do much more than men. And but we just don't talk about it. So you are not aware that other people are maybe also practicing it. And it's just, it's normal that people are curious about it, because there are pleasure receptors around the anal skin, certainly, and definitely also from internal stimulation, it can be very pleasurable. So I think it's a perfectly normal topic to explore, but it is just because people don't talk about it, and it is not normalized. People often have lots of suspicions about it.
Let's discuss those pleasure receptors. What is it that people don't understand about the pleasure that can come with that? And is it for everybody else, Dr. Rudolph, or are there other people that may not find it as pleasurable?
Yeah. Look, now it keeps on bothering me that you introduced me as a sex therapist, because we are actually very strict about who can call themselves a therapist. A therapist is a psychosexual therapist, somebody that was trained in psychology, basically. Yeah. And I'm a medical doctor, so that we don't get it confused. But anyway, so from a medical perspective, the reason why it's pleasurable is...
Yeah. So sorry, Dr. Rudolph, sorry to stop you. So what do you prefer? Sexologist, just medical doctor?
Yeah, sexologist is cool. Because
lovely. Okay.
A sexologist can be a medical doctor.
Wonderful.
Or a psychologist or a counselor. You know, the sexologists come from different backgrounds. But the reason why I'm saying that, is therapy. Sex therapy is often around something like real sexual trauma. And when it comes to anal sex, some people have experienced terrible trauma, you know.
True. Yeah.
So if you go and see a sex therapist, it needs to be somebody that's trained as a psychotherapist that can do actual deep trauma work, you know. So a medical doctor is not trained for that. As a medical doctor, I'm trained to deal with the complications of anal sex, you know. Whereas a sex therapist is actually not trained to deal with the physical complications of anal sex.
Oh, thank you for that.
But if there's emotional trauma, then they can deal with that.
Oh, thanks for that clarity, Dr. Rudolph. I appreciate that. Yeah, let's talk about the pleasure.
Yes. So your pudendal nerve is the nerve that supplies the sensation to the whole genital area. And there are some other nerves that also play a role, but this is the big one. So it goes to the scrotum, to the penis, and to this area around your anus in men. And the same thing, it goes to the vulva in women, the perineum, and then here around the anus, there's also another branch. So people who, let's say we were on an island and there was no media, we never even knew that you could have anal sex. But if you were just touching in that area, you might notice that it is actually very pleasurable to be touched around the anus because of this particular nerve. It's in the brain, it goes to the same place as what the clitoris would go to, for instance. So perianal touch is already pleasurable. And then once there is penetration through the anal canal, that gets similar to vaginal penetration. Why is vaginal penetration pleasurable? There's hardly any sensory nerves around that area. It is about the stretching of the muscles in that area and then the friction that happens to these pleasure spots. So a woman's G-spot, her clitoris, can be indirectly stimulated even via anal penetration. And a guy's P-spot, which is the prostate, can also be stimulated via anal penetration.
Ah, and we often, when we have these conversations, we hear how apparently for us men, that's where our G-spot is located. Number one, is that true? Yeah. But number two, the only way then, if there's a male out there who says, geez, I would like to get to my G-spot and experience it, but it's in the anal, if the only way is through penetration or other ways that men who want to experience that pleasure from the G-spot in the anal, are there other ways that they can take other than a penis penetration?
So if you stimulate with deep pressure on the perineum, so the perineum is that area between the scrotum and the anus.
Yeah.
And if you, with deep pressure there, you could get close to the prostate, which is the P-spot, the equivalent of the G-spot in women. And especially if you put an intense vibrator on that area. So now you're not comfortable to put something into the anus, but you want to get to that spot. You can get to it to a certain degree through the perineum. Mm. If you want to get to it through the anal canal directly onto the prostate, and it's not only the prostate, it is more about more of that anatomy that gets stimulated and stretched and pressured in some way. But anyway, you can do so by just inserting a finger. And, you know, if your partner is female, a woman's finger is small, and it might be not uncomfortable at all to just get a finger in there. You just have to be careful with hygiene. And then also you could insert some anal toy in there. Some of them vibrate, some of them have beads or other kinds of ways that they can stimulate this area. So, you know, it doesn't. And then, of course, there are some people, straight men, who want their partners to wear a strap-on. So that would be like a dildo that is penis shaped that they wear, and so that they can physically be penetrated.
All right. So how do you do it? You've mentioned that, you know, and I see I've got some men that are asking that very question that I just asked. That, I mean, if our G-spot is in the anus, even Macintosh on Twitter says, is it reached by poking the prostrate, the prostrate, and that can be accessed via the anal, that prostate, or are there other ways? And I'm glad you touched on that. What's the safest way then to do that? If someone says, okay, as a woman, I want to help my partner out, or a guy who says, I want to do it myself, or maybe it's someone else's partner in a gay relationship who says, I want to put the finger in there. What do you use? Do you use a condom to strap around your finger or around that toy, or do you use lubrication? Yeah. How does it work?
Look, you can use a condom. Most people would use a glove if they were going with their finger. And you could even use a piece of glad wrap, just depending on how sharp your nails are. If we're, you know, women wear these beautiful, sharp, long nails nowadays, so that would cause injury inside. So you have to be careful with the nail. And then it's better to wear some form of protection, and definitely lube. So water-based lube that you can just buy at any pharmacy, you know, like 17 Rand for a tube of lube, that is perfectly fine. we do also have special anal lubes. And those anal lubes are silicone, and they often also contain maybe a little bit of something that causes anesthetic, a numbing, or some little bit of muscle relaxation that facilitates anal penetration. Mm. So you can get one of these special anal lubes if you're interested. And then you would just, a sphincter is what you have around the anus. So that's a circular muscle. And it actually relaxes if you push gently onto it. So you could just put your finger onto the anus. So now you're already aroused. You need to be aroused when you get here, Just under normal circumstances, everybody's anus is pretty tight because that's the way that we maintain our continence.
Yeah.
But now if you're aroused, there is deep muscle relaxation that takes place. You've done some perianal stimulation already. The person is liking it. They don't feel, you don't just go and poke your finger into somebody's bum. Believe me, that's what doctors do, and it is not sexy at all.
So wait for the arousal.
Yes. Have the arousal there, play around the area, and then you could potentially then, with lots of lubrication, then insert the, and as you said, McIntosh was saying poking. So poking isn't ideal because these structures are very delicate. So it's stroking, So it will be a stroking motion that you would then do over the prostate. And the prostate isn't very deep in, I've got the smallest hands in the industry and I can reach a prostate on a medical examination. Mm. So it's not that deep in it. And for some guys, it's not even necessary to physically get to the prostate. I mean, I don't have a prostate myself, so I can't I can't tell you from experience. But, just having the insertion itself, there's a lot of eroticism attached to just the insertion itself already.
Here's a question, and I'm going to take more calls, 011-883-0702. If you've got questions for Dr. Elna Rudolph or you want to share your experience, I'm going to take those calls. You can give us a call. Your WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702. Here's a question on the text line, Dr. Rudolph. Someone says, I've often heard that women can be wet when they're aroused. Mm. Is it possible to be also wet in the anus when you're aroused?
Mm. Great question. No, you actually don't get wet in the anus. It does not have the same kind of mechanism that wets the vagina. And that's why using additional lubrication when there is any form of anal play is really important. Some people have a naturally more mucus in that area. But that's not the same as vaginal lubrication. Hmm. So, some people might be able to tolerate it without additional lubrication. But generally, this is something that you need additional lubrication for. The way that you could because people use women's wetness to determine whether they are ready for penetration. Hmm. It's not actually the right way. You should always, always first ask the person if they're ready.
Mm.
But because some women get wet even if they're not ready, or they are very much ready, but they're just not wet. But so with anal, you need to, there's the muscle relaxation that happens. But in some people, it just doesn't happen at all. Those muscles just don't relax. So they can't allow any form of penetration, not even a finger. And others do actually naturally basically open up and can allow penetration without pain.
Someone is asking, Clement, I've often seen watching porn people using saliva. Does that work?
Look, saliva is a very natural lubricant and it is readily available. You don't run out of it. So, yes, saliva is acceptable as a lubricant as long as the person that's receiving this anal play is finding that it is enough. If it is not sufficient, then you will definitely need additional lubrication. And some people just get put off by that spitting, depends on how it's done and so forth. So it depends on how the play works between the partners, whether that's acceptable or not.
Okay. And then Jerry's asking, hi, Clement and Dr. Rudolph, is there a meaningful correlation between the practice of anal sex and rectal cancer?
There is actually, because with anal sex, you can transmit any kind of sexually transmitted infection, and your risk, if you have receptive anal sex, so if you bottom, then your risk for contracting HIV is much higher than with penetrative sex. So, you know, if you're the guy that inserts into a vagina, your HIV risk is actually significantly lower than the person, whether it's a man or a woman, that receives anal sex. So that goes for HIV, but it also goes for the other STIs and HPV, that human papilloma virus. Mm-hmm. 80% of people will pick up that infection somewhere in their lives. And the rectal mucosa is actually very susceptible to this particular virus. And that virus can cause cancer. So it can cause cancer in the anal canal, and it can actually cause cancer in the whole gastrointestinal tract. You know, people get throat cancer from that virus, from oral sex as well, for instance. So theoretically, but you know, it's not the act of the sex. It's not, if two people were married as virgins and they, none of them have HPV and they never pick up HPV during their lifetime and they have anal sex, they don't have a higher risk of anal cancer. Mm. You get what I'm saying. It is associated with that particular virus.
What are some of the risks that are associated? Can anal sex, for instance, have any long-term effects on your body?
So what we know from the research is practices that are very, very dangerous would be something like anal fisting. So that is where people get aroused by putting something really big into their anal canal, like a fist. And that definitely is associated with risk, lots of different risks, tears, fistulas, incontinence. So I would really advise people to stay far away from something like that, and even far away from, you know, just toys that are just slightly bigger than the average penis is definitely dangerous. You can poke right through a colon with those, like break the colon and let the feces run out into your abdomen, which is a massive complication. I have personally seen that in a patient. So you do have to be careful with large objects there. In terms of, do people who have anal sex have high levels of incontinence? So this is fecal incontinence, you know, leaking stool, which is obviously terribly embarrassing and a terrible complication. There was a study in the last few years where they looked at over 4,000 people, where they did found that there was a very marginally increased risk associated with fecal incontinence. But this study was also criticized by other people saying that they didn't take all of the factors into consideration. So there might be a very small increased risk, but generally doctors will tell you that, although, look, people have very, very strong moral convictions about anal sex. So a doctor with a strong moral conviction against it might tell you that it's very dangerous. But if you just look at it from a medical perspective, as long as you use lubrication, as long as the person who is receiving it is not experiencing pain, it is safe.
Mm-hmm. And one of the questions we got from that listener who called and asked that we discuss this was how you even start the conversation. If you're in a heterosexual relationship, how do you start a conversation with your partner about anal sex? Whether it's female, it's something you want to explore, or maybe as a man, you want to explore with your girlfriend or your wife. Where do you begin without that coming across as though you are now sliding into the other part of the sexuality spectrum?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is we all just have to tell ourselves that anal sex is not gay sex, because there's this perception that it is, but there are way more straight people having anal sex than gay people having anal sex, just because there are way more straight people around. So that perception needs to change. Anal sex is not for everybody. If you're not having anal sex, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, so it doesn't mean that just because some people are doing it, everybody must do it. Okay, so just to put that out there. Then, secondly, you know, Clement, I've said on here before, I believe in spontaneous honesty. So if you have a partner currently, and this is something that you want to try, my suggestion would be phone them straight after this show. Tell them, you won't believe it, I've just listened to Dr. Alma Rudolph on 702. She said that the same nerve that supplies the genitals actually supplies around the anal area, and that it can give a lot of pleasure. And I never knew that. I didn't think that straight people can have pleasure around their anus. It's so exciting. I've always, you know, we are always looking for cool, new, exciting things to do. And I've heard that if you put lube there, it's even nicer. So would you mind if I check next time we have sex, if you enjoy it, if I touch around your anal area, not put my penis into your anus, because that's usually way too threatening for a person who's never even enjoyed any kind of anal play. Okay. So then you just open it up and you do it spontaneously. So I just heard on the radio now that this can actually work, even if you've heard it 100 times before, you know, you use that to say, ooh, and now I understand how to do it. Let's try it tonight or next time. And, or if you feel that your partner might not want you to try it on them, ask them, would you mind, I'm going to take a shower, but would you mind to see what happens if you touch me around that area? I think I might really enjoy it. So it's easiest to do it spontaneously like that, because when you're in the moment and you all of a sudden take your partner's hand and you pull it towards that area, they might grill and not want to continue. If you all of a sudden touch your partner there, people generally are very defensive about their anal areas, you know.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing there?
Yeah. Get out of there.
Yeah.
So, and also, anal play is something that's done between adults who are mature enough to have long, thorough conversations about this, because it can be really dangerous. If you play around the anus, you cannot go back to the vagina after that. Finish and claw. You need to wash your hands, take other gloves, put on another condom. You cannot, because you will cause a lot of problems for your female partner if you do that, you know, because there are lots of bacteria around the anal area. And those two, the vagina and the anus, live next to each other pretty happily most of the time. But if you are going to be causing friction in those areas and physically transmitting germs from the one to the other, you can really cause problems.
Here's another question. Hi, Clement. I've tried this with my partner, my girlfriend, and she always feels the pain, and it's just difficult looking at her and struggling, but she's keen on trying it. How can I make it more easier for her, and how can we get her to relax some more?
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, there is this condition called vaginismus. So that is spasm of the pelvic floor muscles that makes penetration difficult into the vagina. So you get that same kind of thing called anismus around the anus. So look, for many people, it's a little bit uncomfortable, and you would like first practice with one finger, maybe two fingers. Eventually you can do insertion. But if it's really too painful, there are dilators that you can actually use. We've got them at My Sexual Health Shop, that you start with a very small dilator that's like a finger size with lots of lube, and you insert a dilator. So she can practice like this by herself. Practice with these dilators, slowly but surely relaxing those muscles to eventually be able to allow the penetration. That's the one option. The other option is to see a physiotherapist. So there are a handful of physiotherapists that are specialized in this, that can actually help to relax those muscles, because the pain that she's feeling is coming from muscle spasm. And you might hear from your girlfriend that she's also constipated often. Maybe she sits with lower back ache, something else telling us that there are muscle spasm, that there is muscle spasm in that area. Mm. So a specialist physiotherapist can deal with that. And then the other thing is that maybe she's psychologically just not ready for it. You know, she might have ideas about this being sin or wrong. Maybe there was sexual abuse or something, that she isn't ready for it, and she might need more time. Or if there was trauma, she might need to deal with the trauma with a therapist that can do that. Mm. And then also, don't do something that's painful for your partner. Some people like pain during sex, but most people don't. And let that pain be your guide, and do something that she does find pleasurable, and find other ways for you to get that kick that you get from the anal penetration that does not hurt her. Because it is the negative feedback loop in your brain around allowing painful stuff during sex is not helpful, really. And actually, it can make that spasm worse, making this problem worsen over time. Some people will find that, yes, it's a bit uncomfortable in the beginning, like with normal sex, but every time it gets easier and easier, and then it's fine. But if there's a problem, every time you try, might traumatize this person and cause more muscle contraction in that area and actually make your chances of ever getting it right less. And then I would advise that people rather seek the help of a professional like this physio, or then try with those dilators. Maybe they will, progress to the point where they can allow penetration.
All right, Dr. Elna Rudolph, thank you for that. We're going to take the latest in Eyewitness News headlines when we come back. I'll go to your calls, 011-883-0702. You have sent some voice notes that I'll play on 072-702-1702. Any question or any input, maybe you want to share your experience with us around anal sex safety, you're welcome to do that. Dr. Elna Rudolph is a sexologist who's guiding us through this discussion.
Relationship Talk
on 702.
It's 25 minutes before 12 o'clock. It's Adult Radio, our relationship and sex feature. And today we're discussing anal sex safety. Following a request from a listener who asked that we discuss how this can be done in a safe way and how, if you are in a heterosexual relationship, you can start conversation with your partner about anal sex. So we're looking at the risks. Dr. Elna Rudolph, who's a sexologist, is guiding us through this discussion. We've been looking at some of the risks associated, how you can do it in a safe manner, the role of lubrications as well, to avoid things like tissue tears. And now I want to go to your calls, 011-883-0702. Your voice notes are also coming through.
Hi Doc and Clement. I don't know if this will be asked later, but I just wanted to ask, in terms of preparing for anal sex, how much prep goes into sort of like how far you're gonna go penetrating the anus? So I'm just asking in terms of like douching methods that are obviously healthy for you and don't disturb sort of the bacteria balance that is found in the anus. This is Lifa from Joburg. Thank you.
All right, Lifa, thank you so much for that WhatsApp voice note. In fact, there's another one that's related to that. Someone who says, hey, Clement, very interesting topic you have today. We're learning. Just to add, please remind them to douche before. So Dr. Elna Rudolph, if you can respond to these two. One input and the other was a question.
Okay, so douching is an interesting and contentious issue, actually. Interestingly enough, most gay guys douche, most heterosexual women who receive penetrative anal sex don't. And obviously there are exceptions to the rule to both sides. And it is not that, if you don't douche, it is completely unsafe. The thing is that douching cannot sterilize the area. So douching can never make it completely sterile and therefore no bacteria, therefore no risk. Douching can, in fact, increase the risk for getting sexually transmitted infections. So from a medical perspective, we as doctors actually don't advocate for douching. But it's a personal thing. Obviously, people do it from a hygiene perspective and a practical perspective. So douching would mean putting some fluid into the rectum, so through the anal canal into the rectum, and washing out what's in the rectum, because the rectum is the last piece of tube from the colon. So you can't wash out that whole colon. That's a massive process to do that. So you just clean out the last part, basically. And as I said, it doesn't make it sterile, and we don't want people to be putting things in there that makes it sterile, because there needs to be bacteria there, So on the one hand, it gives like a false sense of security to think that it's sterile. I mean, it's less messy. But if you don't get it right, the fluid itself is not all out before the play happens. And then that's messy in itself, So it is, you do it, you don't do it. It's really up to you.
And what do you guys recommend as doctors? If someone wants to prepare for it and they don't want it, as you say, to be messy.
The best preparation is to not be constipated, because, and that's also one of the risks, if you have hemorrhoids and you have anal sex, then it can worsen the hemorrhoids. But and so if you're just not constipated and you've had a normal bowel movement, then that should be fine. If you douche just water, just using water is better than putting chemicals in there.
Okay, here's another.
So douchebag. I don't know if people would know what a douchebag is, but you can actually buy that.
What is it?
So a douchebag. So it's a, like a, it's a device that contains, it's like a, like you get different ones, but some kind of a reservoir with some kind of a nozzle. And then you put the liquid into the reservoir part and it's squidgy. So then you squidge on that part and it pushes through the nozzle. You put the nozzle through the anus and then it squirts then fluid into the rectum. And then you get onto the loo and you you then let it run out. But really, Clement, maybe some of your listeners here are much more experienced with doing this than I am. So, you know, there isn't, from a medical perspective, it is really, it's not like I would ever tell a patient, you must douche before you have anal sex. I'll tell them you must use lube.
Okay. Here's another question.
Clement, today you've overdone yourself, my guy. Yeah, but you found out who's your offer. Yes, definitely. Today we, I learned the whole office is down on their floor laughing, Baba. Not because we're trying to be ignorant, but because we find out that there's so many things that we never knew when it comes to that part of life. We understand. So, thanks for the education. Yeah, hey. Hey, it's Aubrey from Sprayview.
Thank you for the voice note, Aubrey. I'm glad you're finding it insightful. We have to learn. What surprises me, Dr. Elna Rudolph, is, you know, when you have discussions, and not just about this, and you've been on the show before where we've had other discussions about sex, is how little we know about our bodies. And I always say that we don't take time to explore our bodies and understand what can be done, what gives you more pleasure. You've taken an idea of sex and what you were told, you were taught about it from the older generations, but sex also evolves. The more we evolve as human beings, the more you guys as sexologists are doing research about our bodies, and you teach us more about, as males and females, any other sexuality, about how we can get pleasure when we're intimate with our partners. But for some reason, that is an awkward thing to do, like exploring our bodies so that we can actually have the pleasure that we all of us deserve. I think you often, if not you, Dr. Rudolph, often say, even the United Nations says all of us have a right to sexual pleasure.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. So that's the question that has come through. That's the input that has come through. I see more of your WhatsApp voice notes that are coming through. I'll get to them in a short while. Here's another question on the SMS line on 31702. Dr. Clement, can you please ask Dr. Rudolph if there's certain foods that you should avoid if you are planning on exploring with anal sex?
Maybe chili. I don't know. Maybe you know what chili can do when it goes out there. But no, it's the constipation that's important, that you're not constipated. It will be very uncomfortable to try anal sex when you are constipated. So you know, the typical white bread or whatever would make you constipated, I would say to avoid that. But that's it. The problem is also that eating the perfect food is not going to make anal sex pleasurable if it is not pleasurable for you. You know, that's usually due to a muscle spasm or your idea of this not being allowed, and that causes you to pinch that area. You know, so I don't think food can play a big enough role in that. And to that, I just want to say, Clement, you know, people attach massive value to anal sex. There are really churches that believe that it is complete sin and not allowed at all. I mean, there are churches that believe that oral sex is sin, for instance, you know. So I want people to know that this is not something that we advocate because we think all people must do it. It is exactly what you said. If this is something that gives you pleasure, and if it gives your partner pleasure, and your partner consents to it, and your partner wants it, and your partner is on this journey with you to explore how this could bring more pleasure to the two of you, then yes, cool. But it is something that we have to be sensitive about, cultural and religious ideas about this as well.
Of course. It's going up to 15 minutes before 12 o'clock. More questions and your experiences and inputs when we come back.
Aubrey Masango.
Weekday evenings.
8 to midnight.
South Africa has become, of late, a focal point for various syndicates to operate. Give me a sense.
I think particularly in Africa, South Africa is definitely seeing the most cases, but across.
Relationship issues.
Relationship talk.
On 702.
It's 14 minutes before 12 o'clock. Let's take more of your questions. Dr. Elna Rudolph. Someone is asking, Anonymous says, Clement, please ask the doctor, does a woman get an orgasm through anal sex, seeing that the G-spot is for men?
So the P-spot is for men, the prostate spot. But yes, women can have super powerful orgasms through anal sex. Women who enjoy anal sex will tell you that their orgasms are more powerful with anal sex than with normal sex. Some women can tolerate anal sex and they don't have orgasms. Not everybody will have an orgasm, but women can certainly have orgasms through anal sex.
Right, another question. Good day, Clement and the doctor. How about using a bulb and filling it with water to clean out the rectum? Could that work?
I'm not sure what kind of
an
bulb.
An enema, so he says. Definitely an enema or
enema,
bulb.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so you can. But you know, a rectum is an amazingly designed organ. It keeps the stool in the colon until you are ready to have a stool, and then it moves down into the rectum. That gives you your sensation that you need to go, and you go. Rectums aren't typically full of stool. It's only when you are constipated where it like clogs up in there. So that's why it's not actually necessary to do that enema. People who take enemas are people who have a full rectum because of constipation, where you they need to break up that stool and get it out. So, yes.
Okay. Here's another question. If HIV is transmitted by exchange of bodily fluids and the anus doesn't have much fluid excretion, then why is anal sex more risky than conventional sex?
So the anal sex is not necessarily more risky for the person that's putting their penis in there. It's more risky for the person that's receiving the anal sex, because there is this like a reservoir where, you know, if you have vaginal sex, it runs out easier than with anal sex, is one theory. The other theory is that there is more micro abrasions, so small tears that happen inside that tissue when with the anal sex. So it's not, you understand, it's not the anal sex that makes it riskier for the other person. It is that you who receive it, regardless of whether you are making fluids or not, it's the other person's fluid. And you then keeping it there and potentially on top of small little injuries in that area that makes it easier for the virus to then enter through there. And I'm sure also on a microscopic level, like, you know, there must be some higher susceptibility of the tissue itself. That I now don't have the eloquence to explain nicely, but it is definitely more risky. It's the figure, and I am quoting it very, very roughly here now, but it is less than 1% chance of, almost like 0.1% chance of getting HIV if you just insert a penis into a vagina of a woman who has who's HIV positive. But if you receive anal sex from a person who's HIV positive, then your chance of getting HIV from that incident is more around 2%. So you can hear how much higher it is. It's still not 100%, but it is much, much higher than with vaginal sex.
Okay. You spoke about My Sexual Health, and someone is asking, where can they get some of these products? So maybe tell us, Dr. Rudolph, how people can get a hold of you and, of course, get in touch with My Sexual Health.
Thank you for asking. So mysexualhealth.co.za is the website, and that's where you also find doctors and therapists and people who can help you if you need to see somebody that's specialized in this. But the shop, you go to mysexualhealthshop.co.za, and there's a little search thingy on the right, on the left-hand side at the top. And if you put in anal there, you'll see all of the anal products.
No, just put in anal and they're all going to come up.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. And people want to get in touch with you, Dr. Rudolph?
info@mysexualhealth.co.za.
Dr. Rudolph, thank you so much for making time and always availing yourself to help us understand these issues much better. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome, Clement. I love being with you.
Dr. Elna Rudolph is a sexologist. I hope you have learned a thing or two.